want to welcome you in our Saviour's name to our evening gospel broadcast. We thank you sincerely for taking the time to listen to the broadcast and to the message from the Word of God. We'd ask you to share this broadcast, to share this message with as many other people as possible. We do want to use this as an outreach from our congregation here just through these days of crisis, that as many people as possible can be reached with the message of the gospel. Remember, the meetings here in the will of the Lord in the incoming week, our midweek service for prayer and Bible study, that's here in the church building on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We do need to pray. We need to pray at all times, but especially in these days of crisis, for the Lord's intervention and for the Lord to speak. So we encourage you to come and join with us. I'll be speaking myself in the will of the Lord at that midweek meeting. The service is next Lord's Day, 11:30 a.m. is the morning service. It will be held here in the church building. 6:30 in the evening is the evening service. It continues as a broadcast on sermon audio and Facebook and YouTube. In the will of the Lord, next Lord's Day, the preacher will be our young brother, Mr. Matthew Higgins, one of the licentiate ministers of our presbytery. So if you can, we encourage you, we invite you to come along to these services in the incoming week. We're going to read just a short passage from the Word of God. It's in the New Testament Scriptures. We're turning this Lord's Day evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're breaking into the chapter at the verse 27, and we're going to read just down to the end of verse 31. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and the verse 27, and let us hear the word of the Lord at our hearts today. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they have none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. So we'll end our scripture reading just at the close of verse 31, and we pray the Lord will follow with his blessing this, the public reading of the scriptures. Let's bow together just in prayer. Father, we lift our hearts to thee in prayer. We rejoice in the privilege, the access that we have. We want to pray for the power of God to come down upon the preaching now and upon this recording. We do thank you for the good news of the gospel. We thank you for the word of God, for every warning that is sounded within it. We want to pray, Father, as your word goes forth this evening, that it will go forth in the power and in the demonstration of the Spirit of the living God. We thank you that your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray that many will feel and experience the power of your word upon their hearts and upon their lives, even through this message. We just commit ourselves to thee, Father, praying that you'll settle our hearts. We pray that you'll give liberty. We ask thee to give utterance. We pray that you'll bring the thoughts and the words just readily and easily to our minds. We do thank you for the great opportunity, even to broadcast the gospel online at this time. We want to pray that you'll use these messages. We pray that they will be heard by many people, not just in our own land, but even across the earth. We pray that they'll reap a bountiful harvest. We pray that in coming time, we will hear of how the Lord has used these broadcasts, even to bring many to the Saviour. So, Father, hear our prayers, increase our faith, and come and put your hand upon us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll find our text this evening, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and the words of verse 29. It's just that short statement at the beginning of the verse, where the apostle says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." It's just those words, "the time is short," that with the Lord's help we want to impress upon your hearts this evening. The theme of the message is your time on earth. And we would like you for a short time with us this evening to consider your time upon this earth. Can I remind you, can I emphasize, the Bible has much to say about time. We would encourage you to read through the scriptures. That's an important habit to form. It's important for every person to read daily the Word of God. We would want to encourage you to do that. And as you read the scriptures, look out for the many references to time that are found within them. And here's a very well-known text about time. It says that time is short. It's especially emphasizing, impressing upon our hearts the brevity of our time here upon this earth. And I want you to think about that with me just for a little while. Your time upon this earth. The first thing I'll emphasize is the sphere of time. A sphere is a shape. It is a globe or a ball shape. But a sphere is also a domain or a realm. And I'd like you to consider the sphere or the domain of time. The text says the time is short. And I want you to see that time is a reality. John Bunyan said, "The first thing that God made was time." And remember that God created time for man. He created time for us. We live in the sphere, in the realm of time. There is a sense in which we live by the clock. The reality is that everything we do is measured and is restricted by time. The Bible says there's a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time to get up, time to go to bed. There's a time to eat, a time to go to school. There's a time to work. We ask ourselves continually, have I time to do this? Have I time to do that? Have I time to go there? This world in which we're found, this world in which we live, the life in which we're found is marked by time. We live out our days in the realm of time. But remember, men and women, there's a day coming when time will end. The book of the Revelation speaks of that and warns of that. It says that there should be time no longer. There's a time coming, a day coming, when time is going to come to a close. The time will end whenever you die, and time will end whenever the Savior returns, whenever this world comes to an end. Then you will enter the other sphere. That is the other sphere of existence, and that is eternity. So remember that there's time, and then there is eternity. And the great danger is that we get so caught up with time, we get so caught up with the here and now, that we forget about eternity. We give no thought to eternity. Lord William Russell, when he was on the scaffold to be beheaded, he took his watch from his pocket and he gave it to Dr. Burnett, who was attending him at that time. And he said to Dr. Burnett, "My timepiece may be of service to you. I have no further occasion for it. My thoughts are fixed on eternity." And I wonder, are your thoughts fixed on eternity? You think of that great question, eternity where? When you pass from this scene of time, where will you go in eternity? So that is the sphere of time. But think also of the shortness of time.
The text especially says the time is short. In life, there are things that we have a lot of. For example, we have a lot of trouble. Job says that our days are full of trouble. There are things in this world that we have a lot of, but time is not one of them. I want you to take it in, men and women. We don't have much time upon this earth. Job says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. The fewness of our days upon this earth. Remember old Jacob when he stood before Pharaoh? At that time he was 130 years of age. And this is how he described his life. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. The reality, what Jacob is teaching us there is that the longest life is short. Especially whenever it's compared with the vastness of eternity. You think of what James said. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Consider the question, how long will you live? How long will your life be? Well, James gives us the answer there. He says, for just a little time. And I want you to let that sink down into your heart today. The fact is, you don't have much time upon this earth. You don't have much time left to live. You don't have much time to be saved or to repent or to come and trust Christ as your Savior. That's the reason why you need to do it now without any further delay. The New Testament says, gives the great warning, today, if you will, hear his voice. Harden not your heart. On the outer wall of the towers of Beverly Minster, there is a question, now or when? And I want you to think of that. And let me ask you, if you don't get saved now, if you don't get saved today, then when will you be saved? Will you wait till your time is gone, till your life is over, and it is too late for you to come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? The shortness of time. Think in the third place of the steadfastness of time. The Bible records some very unusual things about the movement of time. For example, we read of time standing still. In the days of Joshua, we read of the longest day ever in the history of this world. It was an exceptional day. Whenever the sun stood still, time didn't move. We also read in the Bible of time going backwards. We often talk about going back in time. Well, it did really happen in the days of Hezekiah. We're told that the sundial went back. So the Bible does record some very unusual things about the movement of time. But remember that those events are the exceptions to the rule. They only occurred by the supernatural power of God. Because normally time makes steady progress forward and onward. Time doesn't move very fast, just a second at a time. It's like the snail. Time just creeps along. But its progress is very steady. No matter what happens in this world, what great events take place, regardless of who dies, time just keeps marching on. You think of it. Whenever this broadcast is over this evening, another half hour of time, another half hour of your life will be gone. Another day will soon be over. Another week has just begun. Another spring will soon be past. Time is marching on, men and women. And what that means is that you're nearer the end of your life. You're nearer to eternity. You're nearer to the coming of the Lord than you've ever been before. And still, you linger out of Christ. Remember that your time on this earth is an opportunity. The New Testament says we're to redeem the time. Think of that word, time. The New Testament says as well in the book of Galatians chapter 6, as we have therefore opportunity. Well, the word time in the book of Ephesians and the word opportunity in the book of Galatians are exactly the same word in the original. That teaches us a very clear lesson, very important lesson. that your time on earth is an opportunity. And it's especially an opportunity to have your sins forgiven. I want to say to you tonight to beware, because as time moves on, that opportunity for you will soon be gone, and soon be gone forever. There's one other thing I want to emphasize as we think of your time on earth. That's the significance of time. What is the significance? What is the purpose of time? Why does God give you time upon this earth? Well, it's not so that you can become rich or famous. It's not so that you can live for sin and pleasure. If you think that, you're mistaken. You're wasting your time and you're wasting your life. The precious gift of time, men and women, is given for a much more noble purpose. Time is given to you so that you can prepare for eternity. And we want to stress that very forcibly upon your hearts this evening. Can I ask you, have you done that? Have you made preparation for the day of your death? Have you made preparation for the end of your time upon this earth? Have you made preparation for eternity? Some of you have lived 40, 50, 60 years of time and more, and you've wasted all of those years because you're still not saved. You're still not right with God. Whenever the Duke of Bridgewater was building the first canals in Britain, he one day found a gang of workmen still resting after 1 o'clock. They were given the hour between 12 and 1 for their lunch. Their excuse for still resting and not getting back to work was they hadn't heard the church clock chime 1. They said that they missed the single chime. Well, to prevent that ever happening again, the Duke gave orders that the church clock in Worsley in England, where those men were working, would be made to strike 13 instead of 1. Those men were left without excuse. An unsaved person, God's clock has struck 13 for you. You have been left without excuse. You've had all the time that you need, and still you have no hope. Still you're without hope for eternity. You think of it, what is the time? What time is it? We often make that inquiry. Well, the Word of God gives the answer, men and women, to that question. What time is it? It's time for you to seek the Lord. That's the words of our motto text for this year. Time for you to seek the Lord. It's time for you to get right with God. It's time for you to get ready for eternity. And we want to plead with you in this message. We want to plead with you to do that now, to do it this very day. Just in closing, let me remind you of the words of a little poem. How appropriate they are as we think of your time upon this earth. The words of a poem that describe life in the terms of a clock. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to say just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. Now is the only time we own to do his blessed will. Do not wait until tomorrow, for the hands may then be still. And you dare not wait until tomorrow to get right with God, to be saved, because tomorrow for you could be eternity. Tomorrow you could be in eternity. So think very carefully, men and women, very seriously about your time on this earth. And think of the words of our text as it speaks powerfully to our hearts today. The time is short. You don't have much time to prepare for eternity. You don't have much time to be saved. May God bless his word. May he speak powerfully through it this very day. Let's have a wee word of prayer as we finish. Father, we lift our hearts to thee. We're conscious of our need of thy help. We remember that except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. We pray for your blessing upon this broadcast and upon the message that has gone forth. We pray, Father, that you will cause many
to hear this message. We want to ask thee to use it. We pray, Father, it will please thee to use it to the saving of the lost. We pray you'll cause it to fall upon good ground, the seed of your word that has been sown. And we pray it will bring forth a bountiful harvest. We remember that you said in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. You've promised in your word, Father, that your word will not return unto the void. And we're praying that you'll be pleased to honour the preaching of your word, even across the internet this evening, in the saving of precious souls. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit the Comforter be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.